Ephesians chapter 3. Let's turn there in our Bibles. And we have various different Bibles represented in this, and I love the fact that we do that. I use this NIV that I've had forever. This isn't what I study out of. I study almost always out of the Berean Bible or the New English Version. I really like that. But I use multiple Bibles all the time. By the way, on your phone, there's a lot of Bible apps. My favorite one is Bible Hub. Bible Hub. Get that app. It has many Bible translations in there, but it also, you can get commentaries, you can get word helps. My favorite thing is I can click on a word and it'll show me the original language, whether it's Hebrew or Greek, it'll show me that, and then I can click and go further. You know, you can have a word and it in Hebrew, let's say Greek. Yeah, you can have a word and here it is in Greek, but it has a little letter before it, like an A or an or a the in our language, let's just say. Just a little article. It's nothing big. Changes that word entirely. So you don't know just the word. It's like somebody just mentioned this morning. The word love. Man, I love my spaghetti. Man, I love my wife. Wait a minute. There's a problem here. You know you love spaghetti more, right? So you're going, wait. Did you say love? Did you say I love my wife? I love Jesus. So Jesus comes to Peter, right? After Peter has denied him and done all that stuff. And he sees him at the side of the creek, you know, and he says, hey, Peter, do you love me? And he says, yeah, you know, Lord, you know I do. No, Peter, do you love me? You know I love you, Lord. Peter, do you love me? Remember that? He says it three times. Peter responds three times, and he says, feed my sheep. He's reinstating Peter because Peter did what? He denied him three times. Three times to three different people he denied him. He's reinstating him. But Peter's responding. Jesus is saying, do you love me? Agape. He's saying, I do. Phileo. Huge difference. Phileo is brotherly love. Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. That ain't the city of agape, I tell you that. Agape is unselfish love with no expectation of anything in return. It's sacrificial love. Do you sacrificially love me? I dig you. Do you give your life to me? I think you're cool. And we don't know that because our Bible says, do you love me? Do you love me? So it's really important that you know that little distinction. Bible Hub, it has it. You can jump in there. You can get that out of your concordance. You can get that out of your Englishman's Greek concordance. You can get that out of Strong's. You can get that out of a lot of places. It's just easy on Bible Hub. So I highly recommend that you get Bible Hub on your phone app. Everybody has a phone. Get it. If you got spare time, don't just scroll through YouTube shorts and that kind of stuff. Do a little Bible study. It's kind of fun. That's where I do my Bible study. I use those tools. It used to be that I had 500 books in front of me. To do my Bible study, I'm taking this one and taking that one and flip. Now I just click a button. Accomplish the same thing. I got to go to the original language. I got to find out what they really meant. Not the English. Don't use the English version if you're going deep. You can't. Because some stuff, they use a word, and so it's easy for us to understand it, but in the original language, it's not that word. Okay? Understand that. I do that kind of Bible study. Some of you do it too. If you're using Bible Gateway, that's good. If there's some other ones, I like Bible Hub. And I say all this to say, that's why this Bible study that we're doing takes so much time, and it's so tasty. Betsy really loves cinnamon rolls, Costco cinnamon rolls, not any other kind. So I thought, oh, well, let's get some Costco cinnamon rolls. So we're not supposed to because we're not eating that kind of stuff. But it was our anniversary. We just had our 23rd anniversary. Hey, babe. I get these cinnamon rolls, and you go to taste it, just to taste the frosting, right? You go to taste it, and sooner or later, half the thing is gone. You're like, what happened? It was so good. It was so good. I just one more bite. Oh, it's so good. Oh, man. Maybe if I warm it up, it'd be even better. It's so good. Let me tell you, that's Bible study. When you have good tools, and you start going deep in Ephesians, you're like, it's so good. I can't stop. I don't want to stop. It's so good. And some nights I'll find myself here 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. Why? It's just so good. How can you stop? It's so good. Oh, you've got to be kidding. And then you say, what does that word really mean? What's the real English word for that? It's so good. It's better than cinnamon rolls. And it doesn't make you fat. Just saying. Bible study is good for us. Okay, back to our Bible. Let's pray. Father, you are so good to us. We are growing as a body. We are. We're getting stronger, deeper, walking in our identity, standing against the enemy. And you're teaching us. I pray as we go into Ephesians some more, that you'll open the eyes of our heart, Lord. Oh, that we would understand who you really are. We would understand what we have in Christ. We can go deeper with you, not just in knowledge. We don't want knowledge, Lord. We want wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And that's not fear like we're afraid of you, Lord. We love you. We respect you. We adore you. So continue to pour out your wisdom as we study your word. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember, Solomon was given a choice. You can be the richest man in the world. You got a genie in a bottle. Rub that lamp and you get one wish. Whatever you want, whatever you want, whatever you want. He's thinking, man, a brand new Maserati. No. Beautiful women. No, no. Riches, riches untold. No, no. What's he asked for? Wisdom. And because of the wisdom, everything else came. Smart guy. Because now he's smart enough to know. But he must not have been that smart. He had 700 wives. Not a smart move. 300 porcupines. Not good. Oh, concubines. Well, it's a prickly situation. That's all I'm saying. Okay. We're going to go through this part of it again. Listen, listen, listen. This is verse 14. Chapter 3, verse 14. For this very reason. There it is again. For this reason. What's his reason? What's his purpose? What's he trying to do? That comes from verse 1. For this reason. Look at verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, called by God. Wait, surely you've heard about... There goes Paul. He's off on a rabbit trail. Doesn't come back to it till verse 14. This is from 1. For this very reason. What's the reason? Well, in verse 1 he says, for this very reason. Wait a minute. That's a continuation of some earlier thought. And that earlier thought comes out of chapter 2 where he says that God wants a dwelling place. What's the reason? God wants a dwelling place. God has always wanted a dwelling place and he wants to dwell among men. He wants a dwelling place. And this dwelling place is not just a dwelling place, it's his bride. Interesting concept. For this very reason. So we're building toward a dwelling place slash bride. That's what he's building toward. That's all of Ephesians, what he's getting to. And he's doing that by bringing unity. He had Gentile, Jew. He breaks down those walls of division. He brings unity. And then he says, the unbelievable wisdom of God is made known to the universe because the angels and the principalities are all watching this to see what is he up to, what's he doing. It's been a mysterion, a mystery that will be revealed. It's been a mysterion until this moment, and Christ has revealed it now through Paul. And what is this mystery that we're now able to see? That we're all part of the same church. We're all one body. That's the mystery. That's the great mystery through the ages that he's been, the heavens have been waiting to see. That great mystery is being revealed in Ephesians 3. And now he says, and here it is, and here it is. And what is it? It's that dwelling place. All the way from 2. He's looking for a dwelling place. From 1, he's looking for a dwelling place. What a weird concept. But for some reason, God wants to dwell among us. For some reason, God wants to be intimately close to us. Isn't that interesting? That's what church is. That's what this is all about. That's why I'm hammering to, come on, you guys, walk in the Spirit. Be who you are. Why? Because we're the bride of Christ. And he wants to dwell among us. And if we're not dialed in with him, he can't be dialed in with us. If you won't let him fill you with his very presence, that's why he said, depart from me. I never knew you. You never let me in. You talked about me. You went to Bible studies. You went to church day in and day out, but you never let me in. You never let me know you. And I want to know you as intimately as anybody can be known. Remember, Adam knew Eve and conceived a child. That's intimacy, right? That's what he's talking about. He wants that. And that's what he wants, his dwelling place in you, his dwelling place among you, that we are not just some people that come together on Sunday. We're not just some people that pop in and pop out. We are the very body of Christ. And as we join together like this, he is expressing himself. He loves this. When we're gathered, he's expressed. Can you see this? So far, Ephesians is all about this dwelling place. Ephesians is about him bringing unity, tying us in, building this dwelling place, and then indwelling it. It's not by accident that he died on the cross. It's not by accident that you got saved. It's not by accident that we're here together. This is all pre-planned before the foundation of time itself. This is so fabulous. You've got to let that sink in. And so, are you growing? Are you overcoming sin? Yeah. Say that all again. As a husband and wife join together and become fruitful, so the church, when it's really walking its identity, becomes fruitful and produces.
And that's everlasting.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Man, you got it. That's exactly what we need to understand. This is so important. If you don't understand what I just said, what she just said, what we're teaching right here, then why in the world do you even go to church? Well, because it's fun and they're my friends and they're my family and I like to go there and hang out. Yeah, that's fun. The social side of church is absolutely fun. And if it's not fun socially, don't go. I would not like to go to a church that's not fun socially. However, the reason it should be fun socially is because we're the body of Christ. We're full of love and acceptance and joy. And it's fun to hang out with people that have the same interest, right? But what should be the driving factor of you going to church? And that's a weird statement because we are the church. You don't go to church. You gather as the church, right? So I have this little lingo problem. This ain't the church. It's a building we get to use to gather as the church. So what's the goal? What's the goal? Why do we do this stuff? Because, man, what she just said, we want to be fruitful and create fruit that is eternal. God's doing that. We don't do that. He does it. But as we gather, do not forsake the gathering of yourself together. As we gather and we allow the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit's to do, we produce fruit. We get tuned up. We dial up. And then when we go out of this place, when we go out those doors, we go into the world to shine the light and the love of Christ. We go supercharged, protected. You know, people always talk about, this is a side note, people always talk about putting on the full armor of God, okay? And so we used to have leg things to put on and then this skirt thing to put on, this helmet thing and this sword, you know, from Sunday school. We're putting on the full armor of God. And I used to always teach that, putting on the full, who wants to go to battle naked? No fun, right? You want to have your armor, right? So you got to put on your armor every day. Sit down and apply the armor of Christ. Every day you want to walk in that armor. Until I realized I'm a Christian. The armor is Christ. I'm always in the armor of Christ. Put on the full armor of Christ that you might in that day stand. It didn't say put on the armor. It says having put on the armor. It's past tense. Guess where we get to read about that? Ephesians 6. We're going there. But you already have the armor of Christ. You're powerful. You're mighty men and women of God. Men and women of God. You are warriors. You have the armor of Christ because you have Christ. So you're not sitting there going to battle naked and unprotected. You're completely protected. You're in Christ. He's protecting you. You're fully girded up and you're ready to rock and roll. So don't think about church as something you do once a week when you gather with these wonderful friends and then you go about your business. So you got your business life and you got your church life. There's no such thing as that separation. That's only in your head. All my secular life and my sacred life. That doesn't exist. It's all sacred. It's all sacred. And I don't care if you're a plumber or a doctor or a builder or a teacher or a pastor. It doesn't matter. It's sacred. Everything you put your hand to is a glory to God. Everything you put your hand to is what He has moved and motivated and created you to do. That's what you're doing. Some people think if they're not a missionary or a pastor, you know, they're a second-class citizen in the kingdom of God. Not even close. If you're not walking in your identity, you're a second-class citizen in the kingdom of God. He's created you for a purpose and for things that He already put in place for you to do before you were even born. So that's where we're going. Isn't that fun? I mean, think of that, you guys. That should get you jacked. You should be thinking, man, is that true? And then I asked you last week to be aware. Now, did you do that, Amy? Were you aware when you got to work that you're an ambassador? Did you keep that conscious awareness or did you forget it? You were home mostly? Doggone it. Every week. But whatever you did, you were doing in a conscious awareness that you're Christ. You're walking around. You're Christ. I was trying to put you on the spot last week and didn't work. But I like that, that it doesn't matter what your job is or where you're going, what you're doing, you're in Christ and you're making a difference. And then it was Gail who said, wait a minute, I'm aware of that every day. I'm all alone living in my house and I'm praying for people. God is using me with every breath, with every heartbeat. I'm part of the kingdom. She's consciously aware of that. So you don't have to literally be doing anything because God's doing it in you and through you. That's the body of Christ. That's the glory. That's what we're all about. Oh, man. So when she said that, I got goosebumps. I'm like, okay, somebody gets it. Somebody gets it. Be who you are. So this week. Now listen to this. For this very reason, I kneel before the Father from who the whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Okay, all right, this Christian family. And I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power. Okay, that's a prayer. So He's strengthening us. I'm going to say that these prayers are yea and amen. Strengthen us with power through His Spirit in your inner being. You have the glorious riches, out of His glorious riches, He's strengthening you with power through His Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Okay, we're there, we're with you. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp, to get a concept, to get this in your head, how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. He just made a cross. High and deep and wide and long. Yeah. Is the power of Christ, the love of Christ. Oh, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love, that surpasses knowledge. What? To know something that is even unknowable, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. As you get to know your identity, as you get to know Him, as you begin to understand this stuff that we keep going over and over, you become fuller and fuller and fuller. You become fuller to the full measure of God. Now, wouldn't that be cool if that happened? Wouldn't that be cool if that happened? Something we should probably pray about. Something we should look forward to. God wants to fill you, to change you, to give you an understanding of His love that's ununderstandable. What's ununderstandable is, how is this in me? How is this possible? How am I a partaker of glorious, heavenly, divine, eternal love? How am I a part of that? Yeah, that's kind of hard to understand, right? It's through the cross. It's called grace. But I'm a sinner. No, you're not. You were a sinner. You've been saved by grace through faith. You're a saint. And now you are a partaker of His divine nature, right? And now He's saying, oh man, I want you to know this. I know it's unknowable. I get it. I get this is bigger than your little puny brain can grasp, but I'm asking that God would allow you to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. In your office, at your house, in your car when you're driving, when you go to church, when you're going shopping, wherever you are you grasping how wide and how deep and how tall and how awesome is the love of God? He just prayed that you would grasp that. And as you do, as you're grasping it, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God, to the measure. There's one measure. You don't lack it. There's one measure. It's called Christ, and you have it. He just wants you to grasp it. You have everything you need for life and godliness through your knowledge of Jesus. There's one measure. He's not saying she gets a measure, he gets another measure, and they get bigger measure. I want a big measure. We all got it. It's the measure. Definite article, the measure. There ain't no other measure. If you have Christ, you have the measure. You have everything you need for life, power, and a godly life. You have it. If you're struggling with addiction, stop. Oh, you don't get addiction. I do. And what does God say? Stop. Remember that Bob Newhart video I played once? Stop. It's not that easy. You don't understand. Yeah, well, you don't understand. It's not your work. It's his work. Stop it. Oh, you don't really get it. I know. You get what I'm saying. God is telling you who you are. Now, look what Paul just said, that I pray that you grasp this. And you can, because you have this wonderful power that comes from Christ. And then he says this, verse 20. This is the whole thing. Listen to this. Now, to him that is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, and I can imagine a lot of things, according to his power. According to his power. We just talked about this power. What? That is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Oh, he just prayed and then he told you that prayer is answered. He just prayed and he told you that whatever it is you just prayed about, whatever you're thinking about, he's way beyond that. He just told you, you got it. You prayed and he goes, done. He just gave it to you. He sealed the deal. He said, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell, live inside you. He's looking for a dwelling place in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints, to grasp, you need power, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know, kenosko, to know this love that surpasses knowledge. It's bigger than anything that all knowledge can even grasp. It's so big, you couldn't put it in all the encyclopedias. It's God's love for humanity and his desire to dwell among them, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we just asked, or that you're imagining, according to his power, and that's at work in within us right now, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. It's done. He prayed it and he did it. It's done. You are full. And God dwells in you. Nothing left to do. It's the finished work of Christ done. It's glorious. Man, that's why we gather, to remind each other. And then to use those gifts, to use them. Yes, I pray for healing, and I believe God does healing. I pray for strengthening. I believe he does it. I pray for maturity. I pray for release. Whatever it is you're struggling with or have struggled with, release. Healed. Let go. Walk it out. You are a man or woman of God. You are powerful and mighty. His Holy Spirit lives within you. And God's been looking for this forever. Forever he's been looking for a dwelling place with men. You're it. You are his inheritance. You're his inheritance. You're his glorious desire. You're his grand plan. You're his genius thing that he wants to show the whole universe. What is it? What is it? Show me, show me. It's you. It's you. God is dwelling in you. That's glorious. Man, That should take your breath away. Oh, church, we are the very dwelling place of God. This is what he's longed for. They tried to fake it in that temple, Solomon's temple. They tried to fake that, then that got all knocked down. Where's his dwelling place? You are, as he says, the temple of God. You are that temple. There is no physical temple anymore. It was destroyed in 70 AD. Why? Because there's no need. Christ went to the cross. You are now the temple. You're the temple of God. And that is exciting, right? Oh, man. With that, let's pray. Oh, mighty God. Thank you, Lord, for what you're showing us here. This is so incredible. It gives me goosebumps. We are that? We are that? Is it true? How's it possible? It's beyond knowledge. It surpasses knowledge. I can't fathom it. I can't put it together, but you've just prayed for me that I'd be able to grasp how high and deep and wide and long is the glorious love of Christ and your Spirit dwelling in us. I can't grasp that, God. I don't get it. Help me to see this as you've just prayed, and you can do abundantly, immeasurably beyond everything I hope or even imagine. And I imagine this church, Lord, filled with people who know you and who know their identity and who love each other in power and who walk in that identity and who draw others to it because they want life. They want something real. They want something different. They want something transformational. And it's Jesus Christ in his people. And that's right here at the Way Church. Oh, God. Prepare us for the flood of those who are coming, because we know that people need this, the very truth of you in us, your dwelling place, your grand plan throughout the ages is right here. Oh, God. That's pretty powerful stuff. It's easy to miss, Lord. It's easy to miss. And powerful if we get it. Powerful if we get it. I think we're beginning to. And I thank you for that. We are your dwelling place. Glory, mighty God. And now as we leave this place, I pray that we don't leave this reality. Keep it ever present in our mind and our hearts. And I want to say, those who are still struggling with stupid stuff, addiction, brokenness and hurt, know this, that God has healed you. Receive that healing. You are free. He is mighty. Grab hold of everything he's given you. Oh, take hold of it. Share your struggle with someone. Let them encourage you and join and partner with you. And know that God is so on your side, the enemy has to flee. And we thank you for all of that, God. You are awesome. In Jesus' incredible name, amen. Amen. Go, shine the light. Go play.